Good morning, and welcome to the study of the Word of God with Spring Valley Bible Church. My name is Chris Dagg. I will be teaching this morning, and excited that y'all are here this morning. Hope everybody had a beautiful Thanksgiving and got to spend time with people that they love, and got to spend time giving thanks to our Lord. We're going to be talking about that this morning. The topic this morning is give thanks, and so we'll start by opening in prayer, and we'll take it from there. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we just thank you. Thank you for a beautiful day. We thank you for the rain that we needed so badly down here in Texas. And we thank you for the sunshine this morning and the cool weather. And Father, just thank you for a breath in our lungs. And we thank you for the ability to get out and come to church and gather together this morning. And for those that were not able to make it this morning, we just pray over them this morning that they will that they can have a great day and that they can study this morning with us through technology. So we thank you for that as well. We thank you for the blessing of your Son and all that you do for us every day, Father. We do lift up Judith and Herman and so many others that are battling with health issues. Father, we just ask for you to sustain them, to heal them, to give them peace and joy. And Father, we just pray for Herman as he's looking at a surgery, and that you will help him get through that surgery, Father, and that will be successful. Guide the doctors, and we ask for you to give peace and joy to Judith as she goes through this journey with him. Father, we thank you for all that you are and all that you do. In Christ's name, amen. Let's sing some songs this morning.
All right, yes, let's go ahead and begin hymn 229. Hymn 229 is appropriate for the season. We gather together.
Thank you for that, Brian. The announcements this morning. Do we have any announcements that we need to cover this morning? Anything on the youth ministry?
Just be in prayer for our breakthrough retreats are coming up in January and February, and that's for our college-aged students. We have two different ones we've mentioned before that we're hosting up at Lake Texoma and already having a good response, and that's continuing, so if you'll just pray for that and for those young men and women, just really seeing a lot of growth and just excited that they want to continue to grow in the Word and just in relationship with each other. And just for our high schoolers, we're still in the middle of praying about the decision to host a high school retreat in March to see if we have enough interest or response on that. So if you guys would pray for those, that would be awesome.
We did have the opportunity on Friday. We had it at our house on Friday. I think the Wises had it at their house on Tuesday in Ward's up in Oklahoma. So we all had a gathering, a fellowship gathering with the youth that have been involved with the youth ministry over the years. We had about 20 people show up. I guess there's maybe some 20, 25 young people show up, and it was just awesome. It was so neat to see them and to be with them and fellowship with them, and it was a wonderful day to time of Thanksgiving. So
you've been working on all the cards y'all have been signing. Thank y'all so much. And Phyllis, thank you so much for making all those cards. But those will all be going out this week. 21 packages are going out to freshmen in college, and we have I think 48 gift cards and cards going out to sophomore through seniors in college. So thank y'all for supporting that.
Absolutely. Appreciate that from everybody. Any other announcements this morning?
Have you talked to Judith and her?
So we went, was that last Sunday? We went over to see them last Sunday, and just a quick update there. It was great to see them both. Judith is in good spirits. Herman is as he is, even when he wasn't speaking a lot or communicating a lot, he was just, it was there. You could see it in his eyes, and it was awesome to have an opportunity to hug him and tell him that we love him. And so he had a scan last week. I don't know the results of the scan, and I think that they're looking to, depending on the results of that scan, they're looking to do surgery this week. So they definitely have to go in and do something with the brain bleed for Herman. And so I think they're trying to schedule that this week. It is a high-risk surgery. But it's my understanding from them, and not to get into all of their privacy, but it's not a choice. So it's high risk, and they know it, but it's not a choice. So they have to do it. We'll see. Hopefully we'll hear something from them shortly with regards to when that is going to be. But please be in prayer for Herman's surgery. And I will, any updates that we get, we'll make sure to pass on. That's what I know from seeing him last week. So, but it was, I can tell you that I think Pastor Maddox is in a place where if the Lord takes him home, he will be joyful, overwhelmed with joy, and if he leaves him here, he'll be overwhelmed with joy. And so I think that is a pretty awesome testament and witness to his faith. And so please be in prayer for them. We did read the first hour an email that we received from someone online who had been searching for truth, and they had come across Herman's teaching. And I know we already read that, so I won't read it again. But as we are speaking this morning about Thanksgiving, just giving thanks for the faithful teaching from Pastor Maddox, that we don't see all of the impacts that his teaching has across the world, but we know that it's a blessing for so many people. Yes, ma'am.
You can go ahead and read it again, because not everybody listened to the same session, or if you want to tell them which session it is, that'd be all right.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll just go ahead and read it again, if we're okay with that. I can't see why that would be a problem. I'll read that now. And then we'll go from there. So this was sent to Pastor Maddox via svbctx.org email. And I'll just read it here. Pastor Maddox, I wanted to thank you from the bottom of my heart for your preaching and your tape ministry. I have only listened to a couple of your series, but they have truly been life-changing for me. You have made perspicuous some areas of the faith that I have struggled with for quite some time, to the point that I did not ever think I was going to understand. All I could do was pray and hope, and over several years, God led me down a path to your lessons on faith and trusting in Him. While I've heard and read many sermons and books on faith and what God wants, they seem to always come back around to a list of do's and don'ts that never quite mesh with what was previously said. You have kept right on point and made it so clear, and I am so appreciative of you doing that. For what it is worth, you have totally changed my life, and I am grateful to you for these sermons and to God for directing me to them. Thank you, Doyle Richardson. I think Pastor Maddox would immediately say that God changed their life, but he used Pastor Maddox as a vessel, and we are also appreciative of that teaching. So, as we are teaching on thanks this morning, giving thanks this morning, we will give thanks for Pastor Maddox and his faithful teaching for 45 years now. So, any other announcements that we want to that we have for this morning? Okay. Then the offering is right here. So let's pray over the offering. Doc said he would come back next week or sometime in the next couple of weeks and give us an update on what's going on with our finances. But as for now, God loves a gracious giver, and we shall pray together in that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for so many blessings. We thank you for this church. We thank you that the lights are on and the heat is working on a chilly day, that we can sit here together and be comfortable and listen to your word and open your word together in fellowship as brothers and sisters in Christ. And Father, we just ask that that the offerings that are given today, whether they're supporting the youth ministry or whether they're supporting missions work, and we'd want to pray today, Father, for the Risley family and all the mission work that goes there and want to support them as well, Father. But we just pray that these things are given through the guiding of the Spirit and that will edify each one of us in our lives and be blessed through the fact that we have the opportunity to give back to you those all those things that you have given to us. So we thank you for this time together as we open your word, and we thank you for the offerings that will come in. In Christ's name, amen.
Yes, this song is number 234. It's fairly slow moving. If you're not familiar with 234, Now Thank We All Our God, you can easily learn it before it is done. So please feel free to join in either from the beginning or whenever you are comfortable.
Father's arms at last.
Awesome. Thank you, Brian. I'm glad you spend time learning those songs for us to follow you. Because, whew, we'd be all over the place. A joyful noise. But thank you for your dedication to that, Brian. I was trying to figure out this week what our next series was going to be. And because we had finished 1 John. I told Julie I'd finish it last week. I finished last week. And so as I was going through the Bible, doing a lot of praying, trying to figure out what we're going to do, and it's like, it's Thanksgiving. So, but during this period of time, as I was trying to get ready, so Tuesday I started studying and opening the Bible and working through things, and I started to become a little bit stressed. Did anybody have any stress in their life this week? So, Thanksgiving week, the boys all came home, so they all showed up. Cameron and Addie obviously live in Josephine, and they came over, and all these things were just amazing blessings. We were fixing food, hosting a fellowship for the Liberty youth, the Liberty alumni. We're going to our in-laws on Saturday for dinner. I had to work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and all of a sudden I was getting a bit overwhelmed with all of the stuff that I had to do for Thanksgiving. And in passing, Lori made a comment, which she has made several times to me over the years. It was a nice comment, Steve, so be careful now. And because I was getting caught up with all the things I had to do. And Lori walked by, and as she has done so many times, she said, she just reminded me that it's not about the things I have to do, it's the things that I get to do. And I just had this moment of, thank you so much. It was an awesome, awesome moment. So this is the Thanksgiving week, and as I sat there and was thinking of all the things I get to do, I just became much more thankful than all of the things that I had to do. It was the same list. That's the funny part, right? And I still had the same stuff I had to get to do. And so that just dawned on me at the moment that it was like, hey, why don't, it's just a couple days after Thanksgiving, so why don't we do a Thanksgiving one day special before I jump into the next series, which I'll tell you what that is as soon as I figure it out. And so how thankful can I be for the things that the Lord has blessed me with specifically, and hopefully for all of you it's the same. A job that pays the bills, sometimes we don't look at that as quite the blessing in our lives. A wife whose smile lights up my world. A heart that loves the Lord. I get to open the Word and share it with people that I love. That's y'all. I get to hang out with young people that makes me laugh and challenges me all the time. I get to worship a God, the Creator of all things, that blesses me and loves me enough to send His Son to die for me. And so I thought today we would spend a few minutes talking about Thanksgiving. I'm not going to do a lot of exegetical teaching today, but we are going to spend time reading some scriptures and maybe reflecting on a few things that we are thankful for. I was actually, we've done this before, I was actually going to pass out pieces of paper and pens and have you all write down 10 things that you were thankful for, but I thought we're a little too conservative for that. So, I won't do that. It's a great activity to do with the young people. It's a great activity to do, period. So, what I am going to do is challenge each of us today at some time to sit down and instead of 10, write down 50 things you're thankful for. Because that forces you to think beyond the big blessings of, oh, I have a car and I have... What about, I woke up this morning and I had breath in my lungs? Or, I could see? Or, you go from there. And I hope when we are done here today that this is an exercise that becomes a pleasure for you to take a few minutes to do and not a burden that you will just ignore. And that goes for me too, because we'll get busy through the day and all the things that we have to do, and we won't sit down and be thankful for the things that we get to do. So we got to be careful about that. So here we go. Well, that was my intro. We haven't even gotten to the Bible yet. So I actually wanted to start with a little bit of history with regards to Thanksgiving, right? So Thanksgiving, there's a reason that we have Thanksgiving in this country. And we are so blessed. One of the things that we are incredibly blessed with in this country is the freedom to get together and do these things. And we have an abundance in this country to be able to do things that that a lot of places don't. And so I wanted to spend a few minutes, and I took these notes from a lady that had written an article. It was on Christianity.com, and her name is Penny Noahs. I don't know anything about her. This is not a theological deep dive that she put together, so there shouldn't be any controversy here. This is just some notes from Thanksgiving and some facts about Thanksgiving. And if y'all didn't know, Thanksgiving actually became a national holiday in 1863. And none of us were around then. But in 1863, we were in the middle of a civil war. President Abraham Lincoln declared this holiday. And this is an excerpt from the first Thanksgiving address. And it was interesting. I had written this. We had all this done. And we went to Lori's family's yesterday. Lori's parents yesterday. We sat around, and that's when we had our Thanksgiving, because the boys were all over the place and going to their girlfriends' houses and their in-laws and et cetera. And so we got together yesterday, and Larry, lifeguard Larry, that's how a lot of people know him, Lori's dad, pulled out Abraham Lincoln's full address and had Cameron read it, and it was pretty cool. But I had just already had this in my notes, so I'll just use an excerpt. I won't read the whole thing. But in an excerpt from his first Thanksgiving address, he declared, quote, "A day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. And I recommend to them that while offering up the ascriptions justly due to him for such singular deliverances and blessings, they do also with humble penance for our national perverseness and disobedience commend to his tender care all of those who have become widows, orphans, and mourners, or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife in which we are unfavorably engaged, and fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of the nation and to restore it as soon as may be consistent with the divine purposes to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union." So in the middle of the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln, the president, addresses the nation imploring God to take care of widows, orphans, mourners, and sufferers, of which there were a lot. He is asking God to heal the wounds of a broken nation and restore it as soon as is consistent with God's divine purpose. When was the last time a president stood up before the nation and implored Abraham Lincoln and implored divine providence as soon as is consistent with God's divine purpose? He was praying in the middle of his address to the nation. Thank you, President Lincoln. So a little bit of history on the first Thanksgiving. Abraham Lincoln wasn't the first president to declare a national day of Thanksgiving. He's the one that made it an annual national holiday. In 1789, George Washington proclaimed a day of public thanksgiving and thanks to thank God for the protection and as the source of all that is good. In his proclamation, he wrote, this is George Washington, "Now therefore I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation." And so that was Abraham Lincoln, and that was George Washington. And then we go back to what we learn in kindergarten, right? When did this actually all come around? And this actually goes back, the history actually goes back to 1621. And if you all remember your history, Thanksgiving in the United States is traced back to 1621 when Plymouth Colony settlers and the Wampanoag shared a meal celebrating the harvest. Their trial began in 1620, with the voyage of the storied Mayflower, a 65-day-long ordeal in which 102 men, women, and children crossed the stormy Atlantic in a space the size of a city bus. Have you guys ever seen like the scale of the Mayflower? You think the Mayflower, it's like, oh, it sailed the ocean blue, right? Boom, here we go. It's, you know, you see the pictures and it looks. Mayflower was small. 102 men, women, and children came across on the Mayflower of a 65-day journey. And but for the grace of God, they would have perished. Because it was a stormy trip. And then followed the cruel New England winter for which they were ill-prepared. Due to exposure to starvation, their numbers dwindled rapidly, so that by the onset of spring, half of them had died. Half of them made the journey, perished due to starvation and disease. 14 of the 18 wives had perished, and widowers and orphans abounded in this pilgrim colony. The pilgrims could still celebrate in this setting as a testimony to heavenly hope, and celebrate they did in 1621 after God had granted them a bountiful harvest. And this should be a reminder to all Christians to give thanks to God in all things. Half of them perished. They had widows abounding, orphans abounding. They were dying of starvation, but God, in His divine providence, gives them a bountiful harvest, and they survive. And they survive in a country that they are free to worship Him, which was their point. So in Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Here is how the settler Edward Winslow described their thankful hearts. And although it is not always so plentiful as it was at this time with us, yet by the goodness of God, we are so far from want that we often wish you partakers of our plenty. They had just lost half the people. They had been dying of starvation, and this is how it's described. We wish you had our plenty. Winslow went on to write at length about the occasion that the pilgrims... Winslow went on to write at length about the occasion that the pilgrims would have remembered as their first Thanksgiving Day in America. This occurred in the summer of 1623, nearly 2 years after the event that we commemorate, 1621, the first Thanksgiving. During that summer, a two-month-long drought threatened to wipe out the pilgrims' crops, and the prospect of starvation in the coming winter loomed over them. So these guys have made the journey. Half of them die. They survive. The ones that do survive are now in the colonies. They have a harvest. Now they go through all of these things, and they're just trying to survive. But in all these things, they're giving thanks. And in all these things, they continue to praise their Lord. And now, in 1623, after a drought and the looming winter is coming, they sit down and Governor William Bradford set apart a solemn day of humiliation to seek the Lord by humble and fervent prayer in this great distress. The pilgrims gathered for a prayer service that lasted some 8 to 9 hours, and by its end, a day that had begun hot and clear, which we would like, oh yeah, great, not so good when you're in a drought. That same day had now become overcast, and for the next 14 days, a steady, gentle rain restored the parched earth. Quote, but oh, the mercy of our God, Winslow exulted, who was as ready to hear as we to ask. They gave thanks to the Lord. 8 to 9 hours. Do you all remember the Risley family are the ones that we've been supporting and taking additional funds for to support the Risley ministry down in Mexico. And do you all remember the story of how they went about getting to the point of going to Mexico? don't speak English. I mean, they don't speak Spanish. They've got a van. They're like, okay, we're going to do this thing. And then had an opportunity many times to hear from Grady. But they decided on the beginning of April, first day of April, somebody in their family is going to be in prayer nonstop for 30 days. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for 30 days, they're going to pray about what they're going to do with regards to this missionary work. And they did. And so they had a schedule set up. They would pray and they would pray, and then the next person would pick it up and they would pray, and they'd pray all night long, and they prayed for 30 days straight. This is 8 to 9 hours. We were all, if I said, hey, we're going to stay here for 8 to 9 hours and pray together, I don't know, there's a few football games on, we might lose some people, right? But they did it for 30 straight days as a family. They prayed together, and when they were done, they all got together because, I mean, you're talking about young kids. You're talking about, you know, teenagers. You're talking about family. And they all were wanting to come to consensus on what God is telling them to do. And after 30 straight days of praying together, they all got together and said, let's go. God's telling us to go. And they went. But oh, the mercy of our God, who was as ready to hear as we to ask. And so some historians link the Pilgrim's Thanksgiving celebration to the Feast of the Tabernacle from Leviticus, right? Others point out the Puritans' debate of having a fixed date to give thanks. Instead, they would proclaim special days of prayer. Both of these links are uncertain, but what is certain is that God calls his people to give thanks. So now, let's open the Bible together. That was from Christianity.com. If you ever want to go on there and look it up, you're more than welcome to. But let's open together Luke 17. If you would turn to Luke 17 with me, please. So, Luke 17, and y'all have, I'm sure, have heard the story of the 10 lepers. And you're like, the story of 10 lepers. I got to remember this one. Why is this about Thanksgiving? So let's read from Luke 17, 11, and we'll read. I'll just read until we stop here. So I think it's through 19. Starting in verse 11. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. So looking at verse 12, they stood at a distance. These 10 lepers knew of Jesus, but they didn't know Jesus. They stood at a distance from him. Were they protecting him from leprosy? That was probably their comment. I mean, lepers were outcasts, right? They didn't just, in a group of 10, didn't just kind of wander around the city and get together and fellowship and have, you know, young people's gatherings together. That's not how that operated. They were outcasts. They were pushed away. But they knew who Jesus was. But did they know him? Because they stood at a distance from Jesus. They stayed at a distance asking for him to heal them. They understood his abilities to heal. Otherwise, why would they have been standing anywhere near him, right? Or why would they have been seeking him out? They understood his abilities and his authority, but they weren't looking for a relationship with Jesus. They were looking for something from Jesus. So in response, Jesus stayed at a distance and he sent them on their way. If you notice, he sent them on their way, and on their way they were cleansed. He didn't cleanse them in his presence. He said, go. Just go. And then they were cleansed. Because of his mercy, he healed them. They didn't stand before him in faith proclaiming him to be the Messiah, right? He didn't have to heal them, but because of his mercy, he did heal them. Isn't it interesting that only one only one came back to give thanks to Jesus? And this one was a Samaritan. It wasn't a Jew. The rejection of the Messiah who had restored Israel so many times is evident right here. The Gentiles were turning to Jesus and the Jews were rejecting him, even though he had restored them over and over and over again. When the Samaritan returned to Jesus, he threw himself at the feet of Jesus. Y'all, you can't get much closer to him physically. You can't get much closer to him than throwing yourself at his feet. This Samaritan humbled himself before the Lord. And what else does it say? He praised him in a loud voice. Jesus is asking this rhetorical question. He knew the answer. Were there not 10 healed, but only one has returned to give thanks? Where are the other 9? The Samaritan came to understand who Jesus was and returned to give thanks and to praise him. The other 9 took the blessing and walked away. The Samaritan, as I said, came to understand who Jesus is. Y'all, even as believers, can we not act just like the 9 lepers? We pray for God to heal us, to help us, to get us out of our mess. We pray for God to give us peace, to heal our friends and family, and to keep us safe. Do we thank Him? Are we one of the 9 that call out to Him in need and then forget about Him once we have what we want? Having been spiritually healed forever, do we constantly throw ourselves at His feet and sing His praises in a loud voice? Are we seeking what He has, or are we seeking Him? All 10 of the lepers were seeking what Jesus could give to them, but only one came back seeking Him. When you wake up in the middle of the night for no apparent reason, which I'm looking at this crowd, we all do this. I'm sure that we all do this. We wake up in the middle of the night for no apparent reason. Do you find yourself seeking Him and thanking Him for all the blessings that we have? Maybe this is not the time for the loud voice, but rather the time to humble ourselves with a whisper of thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for a warm place to sleep. Thank you, Lord, that I am comfortable and not out in the rain, as so many are. Thank you, Lord, that I am saved and I am your child. So next we're going to move to 1 Chronicles. We'll do a little Old Testament. So a little bit of background here as you turn to 1 Chronicles 16. And we're going to start in verse 23. So 1 Chronicles 16. Little background on 1 Chronicles. What we're talking about here is we get into Chronicles, and this is one that doesn't fall open for me all the time, so I have to spend a little time looking for it here. David, King David, he had just recently become king. He had defeated the Philistines. He was building the city of David, and he had put a tent out in Jerusalem for the Ark of the Covenant. And he set up ministers to extol, thank, and praise the Lord. And so there was a place established for the ark and for thanksgiving and praising and worshiping the Lord. And so we'll pick it up at 1 Chronicles 16:23. Actually, I'm going to back up. Oh, I'm in 2 Chronicles. Good thing I wrote it down. Just a second. No, it's 1 Chronicles. I'm in 2 Chronicles. Let me stay where you are. 1 Chronicles is what we're going to read from. I was in the wrong place. So 1 Chronicles 16:23. I'll just pick up where I was. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim His salvation day after day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all people. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols. We talked about that this morning. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and joy are in His dwelling place. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let the trees of the forest sing. Let them sing for joy before the Lord, for He comes to judge the earth. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Cry out, save us, God, our Savior. Gather us and deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to Your holy name and glory in Your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. As we hear David singing and praising the Lord in this passage, I'm reminded of the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. Specifically, Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Meek in today's definition means quiet, gentle, and easily imposed upon, or submissive. That's straight from the Webster's Dictionary. But in the context in which Jesus is giving the Sermon on the Mount, it means one who does not assume any rights before God. When we assume rights before God, then we take for granted that which is given to us. So as I'm thinking of listening to 1 Chronicles 16 and listening to David lift up the praises to God for all of the things that he has given, that he was given, that we are given, it just reminds us to be meek. God owes us nothing, but gives us everything. Looking at 1 Chronicles 16, in the mindset of being meek, we proclaim His salvation. It is a gift. It is not deserved. He's the one that made the heaven and the earth and created us. He's the one that holds earth in its place and protects it from the sun. You're going to have to go back and listen to Kit this morning. He is the one that reigns. He is the one that loves. He is the one that saves. Do we appreciate these things every day? Do we live our life as the meek, not assuming God owes us anything? Or do we live our lives anticipating and expecting God to give us what we want? So maybe we are pretty good about thanking God for the things when things are good. I've often said that we reach out to God a whole lot more when we're in the valley than we do when we're on the mountaintop. When things are good. All right, thanks, Lord. Appreciate you. Thank you for my ham and cheese sandwich and some chips on the side. Thank you for my promotion at work that pays the bills. Thank you for the roof over my head and a warm place to sleep. Thank you for saving my family member from cancer. Yes, when things are good, man, we love to give God the thanks. When things are bad, what do? So let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:16. What are we supposed to do? 1 Thessalonians 5:16. I think I know Phil taught 1 Thessalonians not too long ago, so I'm not going to go into a deep dive here. But 1 Thessalonians 5:16, it says, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. But what about things when things aren't going the way we want them to go? I was reading an article from a pastor named Donnie Berry. Again, I know nothing about it, and we're not going into his theology, but I thought this was interesting. And he was talking about this passage, this particular three verses. He called it the Oreo passage. And he said, it's the cream filling that makes the Oreo an Oreo. stick with me here. This is not a theological or heretical teaching. It's a good analogy. If you look at this, praying without ceasing is the Oreo cookie middle. Right? When we are in constant prayer, communication with God, we are walking with Him. We are looking for Him in all things. We will want to know His Word so that we have more to talk to Him about. When things are hard, we will know that He works all things together for good for those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Even when we don't know what to pray, we can be thankful because the Spirit knows exactly what to pray for us. Yes, ma'am.
Could you please explain what Oreo is in case
doesn't know? An Oreo has chocolate on one side, cream filling in the middle, and a chocolate on the other, cookie on the other side. And so it's a biscuit. And I would say it in Spanish, but I have no idea how to say any of that in Spanish. So, yes, it's a biscuit or a cookie, chocolate, cream filling, chocolate. And so what he's saying here is prayer. If you take the cream filling out of the middle, you don't have an Oreo anymore. In fact, you just got a couple pieces of dry cookie. It's about the prayer. Pray continually. When we are in constant prayer and constant communication with our Father, we begin to see everything through the lens of His will. We may not know exactly what He's doing, but we know that He is good. We may not like how things are going for us exactly, but we trust Him and know that He is working all things together for our good according to His purpose. When we are in constant communication with God, we see His love, and for that we can rejoice always. And we can give thanks in all circumstances. Again, Philippians 4:6, you don't have to turn there, but do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. We are called to thanksgiving, and we are called to prayer. And so in closing today, as a group of lepers who have been healed, I would like us to read a psalm of thanksgiving to our Lord and then praise Him with song. And so we will finish up here. If you will turn to Psalm 107, we're going to read the whole thing. And then Brian will pick up with our last song of praise. And then we will be done. So if you will turn to Psalm 107 with me. Excuse me. All right. David spent a lot of time in thanksgiving and praise, as we all should. Psalm 107. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those He redeemed from the hand of the foe. Those He gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for mankind. For He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Some sat in darkness and utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the plans of the Most High. So He subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble and He saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for mankind. For He breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered afflictions because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them from their distress. He sent out His word and healed them. He rescued them from their grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. Some went out of the sea, on the sea in ships, and they were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest and lifted high the waves. They mourned up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them exalt man. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. He turned rivers into a desert, flowing springs into thirsty ground, and fruitful land into a salt waste because of the wickedness of those who lived there. He turned the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into flowing springs. There he brought the hungry to live, and they founded a city where they could settle. They sowed fields and planted vineyards that yielded a fruitful harvest. He blessed them, and their numbers greatly increased, and he did not let their herds diminish. Then their numbers decreased, and they were humbled by oppression, calamity, and sorrow. He who pours contempt on nobles made them wander in a trackless waste. But he lifted the needy out of their affliction and increased their families like flocks. The upright see and rejoice, but all the wicked shut their mouths. Let the one who is wise heed these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord. In all things, give thanks to the Lord. And let's sing.
All right. To close this morning, would you all join me in turning to number 31, hymn 31. Joyful We Adore Thee. The song borrows directly from Beethoven's Ninth Symphony.
Thou art giving and forgiving.
We'll pray together. Everybody, thank you for being here this morning, and I'm thankful for you, and I pray that every day is Thanksgiving for us who know who Jesus Christ is. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word. We thank you for a faithful pastor who has taught us for so many years, and we just pray over him, Father, as he continues to the health journey. And we do lift him up to you, Father, but we thank you. We thank you for whatever your decision is with regards to Pastor Maddox. And we thank you right now for the peace that you will give us as a congregation, and the peace that you will give Judith, and the peace that you've given Herman. We pray for him as our friend. And Father, we thank you, and we love you, and we just help us to remember never to take the things that you give us for granted. In all these things, we give thanks. In Christ's name, amen.